guitar.
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. Huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com. Or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
This podcast is brought to you by FRP Games, an online retailer specializing in all kinds of gaming products. Please visit www.vorpalnetwork.com in order to gain access to thousands of unique items available only at FRP Games.
Stand by for action.
Gamer's Haven Special Edition.
The Gamer's Haven Snippets Mini Reviews. Look at some of the games we play, be it card games, board games, or role-playing games.
This is Ethan with the Gamers Haven podcast, and I have a very special review I wish to do today. In this snippet review, we're going to be taking a look at the brand new DC Adventures Heroes Handbook from Green Ronin Publishing. They were kind enough to send me a playtest copy, which I voraciously devoured. Now, I'm a comic book fan, and not only that, I'm a comic book role-playing fan. I've been, for over 20 years, I've been a fan of both genres. I've had experience in the Marvel Superheroes role-playing game, Champions, Heroes Unlimited, and Silver Age Sentinels. When Green Ronin announced back in 2002 that they were publishing a superhero game, I largely ignored it, thinking I'd been there, done that. I thought that I'd milked all the enjoyment out of the crunchy game systems with overcomplicated combat mechanics, and that I didn't want to look at a new system, let alone a new superhero game. Then Mutants and Masterminds hit the shelves. I couldn't toss away my old rulebooks of Silver Age Sentinels fast enough, once word got to me how sleek and shiny Mutants and Masterminds was. Of course, I was a bit skeptical, so I picked up the core book at Gen Con that year, and the rest, as you know, is history. The second edition of the game came and went and improved the game even more, proving more so that Steve Kenson had a firm grasp on mechanics in the comic book genre. I, of course, thought to myself, how can they top this edition? I mean, it seems perfect, right? Then Green Ronin announced earlier this year that they would be publishing DC Adventures, a role-playing game based on the DC universe using a variation of the Mutants and Masterminds system. On the heels of that announcement, they made it public that they would be making DC Adventures the flagship of the new Mutants and Masterminds 3rd edition. Well, after I picked my jaw off the floor, I fired off a query to the new Mutants and Masterminds line developer, John Lighthouser, asking, i.e. begging him for a pre-release copy of the game so I could just sink my teeth into it and give it a good thorough review. To my amazement, he agreed and sent me a text copy of the game. Now that all that is out of the way, I can get into the actual review. I've never been a huge fan of DC, to be honest. I've never played any of the previous versions of the DC role-playing games. I believe it was DC Universe and just the DC role-playing game. I've never been a big fan of those. I've only recently gotten dragged back into reading comic books, so with that frame of reference, I took a look at the DC Adventures Heroes Handbook. Now, since I've only had the chance to look through a playtest copy of the text and scan through the final PDF that just became available through Green Ronin Publishing, I can't really comment on the physical aspects of the book. No doubt, if Green Ronin is up to their usual standards, the book will be a hardcover in glorious full color and will be done correctly in nearly every aspect. What I want to address is the material within the book, the meat, as it were. First of all, anyone that's familiar with Mutants and Mastermind in any of its previous incarnations will immediately recognize the core mechanics of the game. Even though the authors have taken further steps away from the standard OGL game Mutants and Masterminds was of years past. Sure, you still have character points, hero points, power levels, and all that core stuff, but there are some small yet drastic changes to the mechanics of the game. Now, gone are the D&D-like ability scores, replaced simply with the modifiers. For example, an average person all has rank 0 in their stats, no longer like a rank 10. Basically, what you do is, just like in D&D, or what they did in the True 20 system, is instead of having a strength 10 with a modifier of 0, you just have a strength of 0. You increase this modifier to 1, 2, 3, etc., 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 or down to a negative 1, negative 2, negative 3, and so forth. This determines the modifier to your rolls with those specific abilities. Now, it should also be noted that there are no longer a standard array of strength, constitution, dexterity, intelligence, wisdom, and charisma. They've taken the game further away from the OGL by adding two more attributes and slightly changing some others. Now, your attributes are strength, stamina, agility, dexterity, fighting, intellect, awareness, and presence. This kind of reminds me a bit of the old phase rip system from the Marvel game of the 1980s, and that's a good thing in my mind. In addition, the skills have been streamlined down to 16 different skills, some with the subsets of specializations, like expertise, magic, or ranged combat bows. You no longer get 4 skill points per character point anymore that you spend during character creation. You only get 2 points per character point. This sort of takes some of the number crunching out of the game, which certainly helps during gameplay. Now, if you open the book and start looking around for some feats, you're not going to find them in this book. The feats have been streamlined and renamed to more adhere with the superhero genre that Mutants and Masterminds is meant to emulate. Instead of taking feats, you instead get advantages. There's still a good number of them, and they still function more or less in the same way as feats did in the second edition of Mutants and Masterminds. They're a bit more in line with new mechanics of the game, however. Of course, the bulk of the book is powers, but don't expect a huge collection of powers grinded through the old core book and the ultimate powers book. No, sir. The streamlining continues here as well with the application of what's called effects. You no longer just choose a power like super speed or super strength. You build powers by buying certain effects, and then you combine those effects to make powers like super strength, super speed, mind blast, teleportation, etc. It all works pretty much the same as it did in the old edition. You have a certain action that it takes to accomplish to actually activate a power, and things go against certain defenses, that sort of thing. But it may take some getting used to in the terms of building a character, and I don't worry, Hero Lab from Lone Wolf Development is going to support Mutants and Masterminds 3rd Edition. You can still apply extras and flaws to powers to make them work in unique ways, and you have to shave points off your characters. Now, when you build a power, you need to break it down to its basic elements. Then you apply extras and flaws to that power to make it work like you want. The system is still very versatile, and I believe they explain the use of alternate effects, which is what alternate powers were last time. I think they explain it a bit better, and they get better in depth into the use of power arrays. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on powers, as this would make this review into what would basically amount to a 4-hour-long gaming seminar. Now, I mentioned defenses. Defenses are still sort of very similar, and they're sort of a step in the direction of 4th edition in that you have different different defenses for different things now still. One big change to the game is the removal of weaknesses and disadvantages as they existed in the previous editions. You no longer get extra character points during character creation for giving your character a weakness to something like pink cotton candy, for example. Now, the new mechanic takes into account that these weaknesses and disadvantages were largely temporary in nature and only provided brief moments of complications in the game. In fact, the game instead uses just that, complications, as a mechanic of getting hero points rather than character points throughout the course of play. I like the addition of the requirement that characters must take at least 2 complications, including 1 motivation. I mean, every hero has flaws after all, and complications make the game more interesting for all those involved. Sort of like how aspects worked in Spirit of the Century, complications can be used by either the player or the GM to get a hero point to use at a later time in the game. Hero points and extra effort are still there, and pretty much they work about the same as they did before. I mean, don't fix it if it ain't broke, right? The addition of making a character have motivation helps flesh out why the character is a hero. I mean, this is a good mechanic, I think, to force those annoying power gamers to think about something creative when they're making a character. Now, the rest of the game still functions as it did, more or less. There are a few minor changes in how things worked, such as taking 10 and taking 20. It's now simply a routine check. When you take a routine check, you just act as if you rolled a 10 and move on. This helps figure out how skills should work for those routine tasks that you do. So, like, for example, if the difficulty of something is a 12, if you have a skill rank of 2 in something, well, you can do that as a routine task. So, you know, bus drivers, mechanics, et cetera, would have enough skills to basically do that as a routine task. One nice aspect of the core mechanic of the game is the elimination of stacking modifiers, like +2 for this, +2 for that, +2 for the other thing. Instead, if the GM feels you should have a bonus for something, or if you have a power that works well with a skill, you get a +2 on that check. If you get a lot of help, or if you have a power that really helps with a skill, this just increases it to a +5, and that's as far as it goes. So no more of this, you know, I have 12 people helping me with this thing, so, oh, they all beat their DC 10, so I get a plus, you know, I get a plus umpteen bajillion to my roll. No, you just get a +5. This method is rolled into everything. It should be no surprise that Green Ronin has knocked it out of the park once more. Steve Kenson has such a firm grasp on mechanics and atmosphere of a superhero game that he delivers a spectacular addition to your gaming shelf. The nice thing about the new system is that it looks as if it's going to be very simple to convert existing material over to the new edition, and Green Ronin apparently has no plans to rehash old products for you to buy again. So you should keep those old copies of Freedom City 2nd Edition and Silver Age. You're still going to use them with this. And for those of you who may be worried that there's too much DC stuff in this book, rest assured, this book reads like a Mutants and Masterminds book, but with the DC stuff added for flavor. It's not intrusive, and it's actually kind of cool to flip a page and see Batman hanging out in an M&M book. Now who knows, maybe we'll get a chance to see Darkseid and Omega juggle universes in a future RPG session. Now wouldn't that be cool? This game easily gets an A+.
This has been a snippet mini-review from the Gamers Haven Podcast. For more information on the products mentioned, please visit our website at CanadianCrusaders.com.
To talk gaming with around here.
What you need, my friend, is the Gamers Haven.
Gamers Haven? What's that?
The Gamers Haven is a podcast that talks about all sorts of tabletop games, RPGs, card games, board games, and more. And if you have a need of a fix of role-playing, listen to one of their many actual play podcasts. They have ones for Deadlands, Dungeons & Dragons 4E, Pathfinder, and more.
Just go to www.gamershavenpodcast.com to find them.
Wow! Are you some sort of sage?
No, I am just a guy from New Jersey doing a really bad accent. Go to the Gamers Haven now!
Listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.